Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. For many people hitting the road again this day after Christmas, the weather may not cooperate. CBS's Jim Krasula.
Fog will be a problem in the middle of the country, from the Gulf Coast north to Nebraska, Iowa, and Illinois. Snow will slow travel from Utah and Idaho to the Pacific Northwest.
FlightAware reports more than 1,900 flights into or out of the U.S. today have been delayed, while more than 200 have been canceled. The early holiday returns for retailers look good.
Holiday retail is up 2.5% to 3.5%.
Retail analyst Bert Flickinger says today should also be busy with shoppers hunting for post-Christmas markdowns. CBS's Cammy McCormick reports the Kremlin is beefing up security a week after Ukraine assassinated Russia's chemical weapons chief with a scooter bomb.
Now the Kremlin says there were several Russian military leaders to be targeted, and some of the plans also included remote-controlled bombs, one hidden in an envelope.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Be extra careful on the roads today. There's a winter weather advisory for patchy freezing drizzle with a light glaze of ice accumulating. Sidewalks, roads, and bridges are likely to be very slippery. With gift-giving over for many, now comes the time for holiday returns and exchanges. While stores aren't legally required to accept exchanges or give refunds, some do. However, policies can vary greatly from store to store. If possible, know the store's policy before you buy and use your credit card. Paying with a credit card may offer additional protections for returns or disputes. Keep your receipt and packaging and always include a gift receipt with the items you give. Bring your ID to the store when you take an item to return. Some stores also require the original form of payment, so you may need help from the gift giver. If you have to make a return, do it sooner rather than later. Some stores modify their return period during the holidays. Also, watch out for return scams. Don't trust suspicious third-party return services who promise to handle the process for you. Always follow official channels and platforms with returning items. You can find more tips at bbb.org. Childcare is a critical piece in supporting a thriving economy. Childcare is considered affordable if it is no more than 7% of a family's household income. According to Healthy Peoplewood County, families in the county spend an average of 21% of their income on a childcare slot, and this is for one child. That's three times what the federal government considers affordable. 49% of the recent Wood County Community Health Assessment respondents identified affordability and availability of childcare as an important area of improvement needed in the county. 42% of parents surveyed say they struggle to obtain childcare due to financial barriers. You can find out more at healthypeoplewoodcounty.org. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers headed to the playoffs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers face the Vikings Sunday. Game time now 3:25 in Minnesota. Green Bay clinched his spot in the playoffs after beating the Saints. Running back Josh Jacobs excited to finally reach the postseason as a Packer after 5 years with the Raiders.
You got games in front of you. You know, we still fighting, you know, trying to be as best of a team that we can be. We finally put a complete game together. That's something that we've been hunting since the beginning of the season. I mean, it just feels like our ceiling is keep going up.
College basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles taking some time off. Their next game, New Year's Eve, on the road at Providence. Senior forward David Joplin scored 19 in their win over Xavier. Joplin now has over 1,000 points in his career with the Golden Eagles.
He scored a lot of points. I'm grateful for him. You know, anytime you have someone that's scored over 1,000 points at the same school, you know, that you're just grateful that he's been around that long and that we got, you know, two-thirds of our season left with him.
That's Marquette head coach Shaka Smart with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Program Director of WFHR, James J. Mailoff here, also your host of The Morning Show and Morning Magazine, wishing you and yours a very happy holiday season and joy from all of us here at WFHR.
It is going to be foggy and drizzly today, but it is going to be a little warmer with a high in the upper 30s this afternoon. Tonight, cloudy with more fog and drizzle, 35 tomorrow, cloudy and warmer with scattered areas of light rain. Our high tomorrow, 42. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 29.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
The Todd Alba Show.
UW Systems spends $51 million of our taxpayer money for consultants. Three times the budget shortfall that triggered the Oshkosh layoffs in 2023. Why is there such silence from Democrats in the state capitol on this? Ask people at Richland Center, Waukesha, Washington County, if they got their $51 million worth for the UW system.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Greetings. And welcome to Matt Nair on Air. I am not Jane Matt Nair, nor am I Greg Bach, but I am Dan Schaefer, and I am here as your guest host this morning on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you so much for joining us. If you are unfamiliar with me and my work, I am a regular guest here on Matt Nair on Air. I join the show every Friday at 11 a.m. to recombobulate because I am the founder of the Recombobulation Area. It's a weekly opinion column and online publication based out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Yes, it is named after the goofy post-security area at the Milwaukee airport where you're discombobulated, you get through security, you're getting your shoes, you're getting your bags, you're getting all your things, and you take a moment, you take a seat, you piece everything together, and I think, you know, that's what I'm hoping to bring to you today on Matt Nair on Air. It's, you know, Christmas can be discombobulating for a lot of people, so we're going to recombobulate here on Matt Nair on Air. Calvin is on the board. It is the day after Christmas. You know, this day always has a certain specific feel to it, doesn't it, Calvin?
Yeah, it always is kind of weird. It's this little empty around the station, and yeah, all the excitement of the holidays is over. So yeah, it's a little weird.
Yeah, it's like almost like there's, you know, there's all the build up to the holidays, coming up to Christmas, coming up to, you know, Hanukkah, whatever you might be celebrating this time of year. And, you know, the day after Christmas is always, it has a certain specific feel to it. It's, you know, it's like, I think of it like it's, you know, when you get married, right? Yeah, everything is building up to the wedding and building up to the wedding, and you're thinking about the wedding and you're doing all of these things, and all, and you get married and it happens and it goes through, and you, you know, hey, you have a great time. And then the next day it's just like, all right, what now? You wake up and you look around and you try to make sense of the world that you're now in, and it's just kind of this letdown feel. It has a specific feel to it. So asking the listeners today, if you want to be part of the conversation with us, join us, call or text 855-752-4842. Again, that is 855-752-4842. So what do you like to do on December 26th? Are you immediately headed back to the stores? You know, going back, maybe using a couple gift cards, going shopping. Are you spending a couple extra days with family? Maybe you traveled a great distance to get to where you're going, and spending a little extra time this week between Christmas and New Year's to spend that time with family. Is today a travel day for you? Are you on the road? Are you making your way across the state, listening to us here on the Civic Media Network, spending your morning with us as you make your way to your next destination, or make it back to where you're going? Maybe you, slept over at your, slept with your family at your parents' house, something like that, making your way to your next destination. Is that how you're spending your day? Do you have any other specific traditions that you might like to spend on December 26th? Or are you just ready to be done with it? You're ready to turn the page. Maybe you're sick of all that Christmas music, you know, that you've been hearing nothing but since Thanksgiving. Maybe you're ready to flip your dial back to some regular regular scheduled music. Your Spotify playlist is maybe a little bit more populated with, you know, just regular music and not the Christmas music that it might be. Let us know in the comments if you're watching on the live stream. Let us know on the talk and text line. Again, that's 855-752-4842. And I am your guest host this morning. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am the founder of the Recombobulation Area, which is now part of the Civic Media Network. So if you're unfamiliar with me and my work, go check out the recombobulationarea.news. We've got the most recent article that I posted there was our year in review piece. So you can take a look back at all of the kind of standout stories that we were able to put together throughout the course of the year, myself and the regular contributors at the Recombobulation Area. Lots of great stuff this year. Obviously, an election year, so a lot of it had to do with the 2024 campaign, with the election, with the convention in Milwaukee, with the RNC in Milwaukee, the DNC in Chicago, new maps that we had this year. That was obviously a big deal in the state and something that we have covered quite a bit at the Recombobulation Area over the years. So if you want to check out what we're all about, come check out that year in review. So I have it. The title of that one is 2024, the year in recombobulation. So if you're discombobulated on the year that was, you want to recombobulate yourself, come on back, check out our year in recombobulation issue. You know, certainly a very busy year for me, having a front row seat to so many of the things that happened over the course of the year. And in this, you know, right in the middle of things here in Wisconsin, here in southeastern Wisconsin. And we're broadcasting today out of Radio Park and Racine. So if you have thoughts on the year that was, on the big stories of the year, on what really stood out to you, give us a call, shoot us a text, 855-752-4842. And if you have thoughts on what's going on December 26th, how this feels the day after Christmas, it's almost, you know, maybe you're piecing some things back together after a busy day. I know I'm a parent of young children, so Christmas is extraordinarily busy for us. And I have young kids and it's very exciting on Christmas morning. But it can be very exhausting on the parents to get up at ridiculous hours for the kids who want to get down to that Christmas tree and open those presents. So I know my kids were ready to go in the morning on Christmas morning at about 5, which was entirely too early for me. Just in general, I'm not a morning person at all. 5 o'clock is the middle of the night as far as I'm concerned. But the kids were ready to go, get ready to open those gifts from Santa under the tree very, very early in the morning. So a little bit of an exhaustion toward the end of that day. Last night I was pretty beat after a very long day with the kids, but they were so excited. They got some great presents that were on their list. They sent a couple letters to Santa in the days and weeks before. So that was very exciting. So it was, it was a very great Christmas for us. And now, you know, now turning the page, it's December 26th. We're back to work. We're getting after it. Busy day for all of us here. So let us know how you're spending your December 26th. Are you driving around doing some next day Christmas shopping, maybe making some returns? Maybe that sweater didn't fit. Maybe that, you know, you're trying to use that gift card. Let us know what you're up to. How you're spending your December 26th. And we are glad that you are spending it with us here at Matt and Air on Air. I'm your guest host this morning. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am the founder of the Recombobulation Area. Regular Matt and Air on Air listeners might know me as I join the show every Friday at 11. And today I am guest hosting as well. We have a couple guests that will be joining us over the course of the program today. At 11 a.m., we'll be joined by Civic Media's own Luke Mathers. Luke and I will recombobulate on a number of things, and you might know that Luke and I are both very big fans of the Milwaukee Bucks. So even though they did not play on Christmas Day yesterday, we're going to be talking a little bit about the Milwaukee Bucks. They play tonight in Milwaukee against the Brooklyn Nets, so that's going to be a fun one. But, you know, they didn't get a chance to play on Christmas Day. First year in quite a while that the Bucks did not play on Christmas Day. So that's going to be, you know, kind of an interesting, interesting thing to talk about. You know, are they overlooking the most exciting? Is the NBA overlooking the most exciting player in the league, Giannis Antetokounmpo, by not scheduling the Bucks on Christmas Day? Interesting. But you know, there was also a lot of football yesterday too. It seems like the NFL is trying to come in on the NBA's territory on having those Christmas Day games. So we'll talk to Luke a little bit about that. Talked about where the Milwaukee Bucks are at this stage of the season. And we're also going to be joined this morning at 10:30 by Alice Herman, who is a writer at The Guardian. She wrote a very big story that was just published late last week. And I want to make sure that this story gets the attention that it deserves. So the headline for this is: Major Trump donors who complained of immigrant invasion used Mexican workers illegally, sources allege. So this exclusive report from Alice Herman and her team, another writer in for The Guardian, wrote this story. This was published last Friday, December 20th. So this is still pretty fresh. And if you are unfamiliar with Uline is based in southeastern Wisconsin in Pleasant Prairie. It is a big and growing, kind of shipping packaging empire that they have been growing in southeastern Wisconsin. Office and shipping supply company. It is owned by billionaires Dick and Liz Uline. Dick and Liz Uline are the founders of this company, and they are some of the biggest donors in the country for political causes. They actually spent more this election cycle than even Elon Musk, funding Republican candidates and conservative causes around the country. And so I think, you know, as many of the ads run by the super PAC, run by Liz and Dick Uline, many of those ads were about, you know, what was happening on the border, as so many of those ads were. And so it's going to be interesting to have a conversation with Alice here to talk about what is going on at Uline in terms of using immigrant labor over the course of their business there. So we will be talking to Alice at about 10:30. We'll be talking to Luke Luke Mathers will join the show just in the 11 o'clock hour. And I am going to be taking your calls, listening to your texts throughout the show here. And we're excited for all of you to be joining us this morning on Matt and Aaron Air on the Civic Media Network. Again, my name is Dan Schaefer. I am your guest host today, and we are encouraging you to call and text, join the show, have a conversation. Let us know what you're up to on this December 26th, this day after Christmas, as the tinsel cloud clears. we get back to our regularly scheduled programming after the Christmas holiday here. So thank you so much for joining us here on Matt and Air on Air. Stick with us. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we will be headed to break right about now. Stick with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air with your guest host, me, Dan Schaefer.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
At some point, you'll need to take money out of your IRA and 401k. What should you know about these mandatory withdrawals? First, they're called required minimum distributions, or RMDs, and you must start taking them when you're 73, or if you were born in 1960 or later, 75. RMDs apply to your traditional IRA and 401k, but not your Roth IRA or Roth 401k. The amount you take out is based on your account balance and age, but if you don't take out the required amount each year, you could face a 25% penalty. You can withdraw more than your RMD each year. but keep in mind that your withdrawals are taxable. When you inherit an IRA or 401k, you still must take RMDs, but you typically must take out all the money within 10 years. After you've started taking RMDs, you must do so by the end of each year. So, if you haven't taken them for 2024, you may need to act quickly. Learn as much as you can about them. You'll want to make the right moves at the right time. This is Clay Kanoki, your Edward Jones Financial Advisor, at 715-421-0958. Member SIPC.
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. I'm your guest host this morning. My name is Dan Schaefer. Thank you so much for joining us today on your December 26th, the day after Christmas. We're recombobulating here on Matt and Air on Air. My name is Dan Schaefer. I am the founder of the Recombobulation Area, a weekly opinion column and online publication covering news and politics in Milwaukee and Wisconsin. And I am your guest host this morning on Matt and Air on Air. And we are recombobulating after, you know, perhaps a discombobulating stretch for many people, or at least a busy one with the Christmas holiday just in our rearview mirror. So, you know, this day after Christmas has a certain specific feel to it. And whether you're, you know, getting right back into the stores, doing some holiday shopping, whether you're headed back to work, whether you're spending some extra time with family, whether you're traveling, maybe you're headed to the actual recombobulation area, spending some time there and going through Milwaukee's airport on your way back home today. We are glad you're joining us here on the Civic Media Network. You know, and we want you guys to let us know what you're up to today as well. So let us know what you're doing on your December 26th. Give us a call. Shoot us a text, 855-752-4842. Join the conversation. We're live streaming on YouTube, on Facebook, on the platform formerly known as Twitter. And we are getting ready for a great show here for you today. We've got a couple guests that are going to be joining us. Luke Mathers of Civic Media is going to be joining us in the 11 o'clock hour to talk about a whole host of different things, but in particular, the Milwaukee Bucks. As you might know, Luke and I are both big, big fans of the Milwaukee Bucks. So we're going to be talking about Bucks. We're going to be talking about some of the news of the day when Luke joins us in the second hour of the show after 11 o'clock. And at 10:30, we're going to be joined by Alice Herman, who, along with another writer, Stephanie Kirchgasser, she'll have to make sure that I got the pronunciation correct on that byline there. But Alice wrote this story late last week for The Guardian, about a major Wisconsin employer and major Republican political donor. The headline for this piece is "Major Trump Donors Who Complained of Immigrant Invasion Used Mexican Workers Illegally," sources allege. And I'm going to just go ahead and read you the first couple paragraphs of this story so that you understand what exactly is going on here, because I think this is a pretty big deal. This is a big story. You know, those stories that can be published on a Friday before Christmas, they can often end up in kind of news dump territory. So as a longtime print media journalist myself. So I worked for BizTimes Milwaukee, Milwaukee Business Journal, Milwaukee Magazine, a number of different places over the course of my career as a journalist in and around Milwaukee. And when certain people, whether it's a business, you know, maybe doing some layoffs, or a politician trying to bury some bad news, Those often end up in stories that break late on a Friday when maybe some journalists or others maybe aren't paying quite the same amount of attention. But I want to give a little bit more attention to this story that was published last week Friday, because I think this is a big deal. This is the type of story that I think Democrats should be talking more about. And I think it is, you know, it speaks to an issue for those of you who've been listening over the course of the morning. This was a big topic on the Earl Ingram Show before I joined on the air here for Matt and Air on Air. And I think, you know, the immigration issue and the Donald Trump's promises of mass deportation in a second Trump term, you know, not only is this extremely troubling, but it is, I think we have to look at this in terms of solutions to an immigration issue as well. And look at who are the problematic actors in this as well. So I think you could talk about people on the individual level who are immigrating to places like Wisconsin. You know, there's a number of migrant workers who work on dairy farms and other farms throughout the state. You know, all sorts of other jobs that people might be moving to the United States for, moving to Wisconsin for, immigrating to this country to build a better life for themselves. But other, you know, there are companies that maybe have some perhaps hypocritical viewpoints on this. And I think the Uline company and the Liz and Dick Uline, the founders of the office and shipping supply company that is based here in southeastern Wisconsin, they are the focus of this story because they are some of the biggest political donors in the country. They actually spent more backing Republicans and backing conservative causes in the 2024 election cycle than even the richest man in the world, Elon Musk. So I'll just read through for you the first couple paragraphs from this story from Alice Herman at The Guardian. So first, a company owned by two of Donald Trump's mega donors has routinely brought dozens of its workers from Mexico to staff its warehouses in Wisconsin and other locations, even though they do not appear to have permission to work in the United States, according to a Guardian investigation. Uline, a giant Wisconsin-based office and shipping supply company controlled by billionaires Liz and Dick Uline, shuttles in its own workers from Mexico, who are using tourist visas and visas meant for employees who are entering the U.S. temporarily to receive professional training known as B-1 visas. But instead of being part of a dedicated training program, the Mexican employees stay for 1 to 6 months and, sources with direct knowledge of the matter allege, perform work in Uline's U.S. warehouses. Lawyers and immigrant advocates told The Guardian they believe the alleged practice is likely illegal and could be exploitative of the workers enrolled in the program. The company has allegedly used employees without proper work permits, even as Dick Uline's Super PAC, Restoration PAC, supported Trump's presidential campaign with a TV advertisement attacking his opponent Kamala Harris for allowing an immigrant, quote, invasion at the U.S.-Mexico border. So we're going to be talking about that with Alice Herman after the break here at 10:30. She's the author of this piece at The Guardian. I think this is an important one. I think this one we should be paying close attention to, because as we talk about money in politics, we talk about the messages that we saw so often during the campaign season here in the state of Wisconsin. I think it's important to take a close look at what they're up to. And I think given how big the immigration and border issue has been over the course of this campaign and what it pretends for a second Trump term, I think practices like this warrant some real closer look. So we're going to get into that after the break with Allison Herman of The Guardian. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm your guest host today, Dan Schaefer. Stick with us. We'll be right back.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. This year, Kwanzaa and Hanukkah are celebrated in the same week. Lisa Hale takes a closer look at Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa begins on December 26th. It's an African-American and Pan-African celebration created in 1966. Dr. Alfonso Simpson Jr. is the director of African-American Studies at UW-Oshkosh.
It's a celebration of family, a celebration of community and culture, and is rooted in raising up and bringing forth the ancient African model of cultivating, harvest, and sharing good in the world. It's really about sharing good in the world.
According to official KwanzaaWebsite.org, participants celebrate Kwanzaa with feasts, music, dance, and stories. They also honor the seven principles of unity, self-determination, collective work and responsibility, cooperative economics, purpose, creativity, and faith.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources celebrates a successful elk hunting season. The state's seventh managed elk hunt opened on October 12th and concluded December 20th. The 2024 hunt represented a milestone in Wisconsin's elk management. For the first time, hunters had the opportunity to hunt in both the northern and central elk zones. The eight Wisconsin hunters who participated in this year's hunt were randomly selected from a pool of more than 25,500 applicants. The DNR received over 17,000 applications to hunt in the northern elk zone and more than 7,500 applications for the central elk zone. In the central elk zone, all four hunters successfully harvested a bull elk on the third day of the season. Two hunters in the northern elk zone successfully harvested a bull elk, and Ojibwe tribal hunters met their four bull harvest declaration. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for things to do between Christmas and New Year's, there is lots to see in the theaters at the moment. If you're looking for a well-reviewed musical biopic where the lead character is a monkey, the film Better Man might be for you. It tells the story of the meteoric rise of British pop sensation and former boy band member Rob Williams and his fall from grace. If you're wondering why they made him a monkey in the film, it's because Williams says he always felt less evolved and because when he's on stage, he sometimes feels like a monkey. One of the weirdest trailers I've ever seen, but it is getting good reviews. Other films that open on Christmas Day include The Fire Inside, about a female boxer from Flint, Michigan, who becomes the first woman to win gold in the sport at the Olympics. Great reviews. The Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, starring Timothy Chalamet, is currently in theaters and is also incredibly well-reviewed and is getting Oscar buzz. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hello, this is Melissa Kay, news director and co-host for Mornings with WFHR. I want to wish you and yours a wonderful holiday season filled with love and joy.
A winter weather advisory and dense fog advisory is in effect through tomorrow morning, with visibility dropping to less than a mile at times, and freezing fog creating slick and slippery surfaces, as well as freezing rain moving in. Icy spots are possible before temperatures rise above freezing. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 29 degrees.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Thank you so much for joining us here across the Civic Media Network. I am not Jane Matt and Air, nor am I Greg Bach, but I am Dan Schaefer, and I am your guest host this morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I am the founder of the Recombobulation Era and the political editor here at Civic Media. And we are talking today a little bit about immigration policy and how that impacts and how that's playing out with some of Trump's biggest donors who own a company here in Wisconsin. And so we were just talking, I was just reading a few, a little bit from this story before the break here. And we are now joined by the author of this story, Alice Herman of The Guardian. Alice, thank you so much for joining us here this morning on Matt and Air on Air.
Thank you so much for having me, Dan. I appreciate it.
So as we were discussing before the break here, you wrote this story. I think this story is a pretty big deal. So the headline again is Major Trump Donors Who Complained of Immigrant Invasion Used Mexican Workers Illegally, sources allege. So, Alice, tell me about this story. Tell me about what you and your colleagues at The Guardian found in reporting this piece.
So sources contacted The Guardian with a tip about a program that Uline was allegedly running within their company, where they would bring workers from their facilities in Mexico to staff the warehouses in the U.S., so in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. And what we were initially told was that the workers who were coming up to do wage labor in those warehouses, allegedly, were working on visas that would not have permitted them to do that type of, to do wage labor at all. And, you know, over the course of this investigation, we were able to talk to workers who confirmed that they had come on tourist visas, who had been told that they were coming to the U.S. To do professional training, which would be permitted, but then described basically doing warehouse work and not in, in doing the same kind of work that their American counterparts, their U.S. counterparts were doing, but in fact for the same wages they were making in Mexico. And we weren't able to track down the specifics on that, except that, you know, the wage allegedly was the same as the wage they were making in Mexico, plus maybe a certain travel bonus. But that was sort of the gist of the story that we were able to get from sources who were familiar with this program, which was called the Shuttle Support Program. And then we were able to corroborate with workers who had participated in it, and looking at some internal documents from the company as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So so walk me through what a normal process for this might look like if this was, you know, a completely above board. So these people who are migrating from Mexico essentially for you know, for employment purposes, right? So they're these B1 visas would be for job training, right? So if the people who were coming were going to be trained for a job, that would be part of that particular visa program. But what your story is saying is that that's what they thought was going to happen, but that's not what happened in practice. Is that correct?
So we don't know, you know, we don't know if every worker was aware of exactly what they'd be doing in the U.S. It's totally possible that there are people who had, who knew that they were going to be working in the warehouse, but who had an implicit understanding that they were to tell border officials that they were going to be here for professional training. And just like for a little context, the type of training that a B1 visa would typically allow, according to the lawyers that we talked to, would be like a workshop or some kind of certification program. The Wisconsin-based immigration lawyer that I talked to was initially skeptical of the prospect of blue-collar workers who are in a warehouse coming up for up to 6 months at a time to participate in a professional training. Like, it didn't add up for him. And then with, you know, all of the evidence that we were looking at, he said that he thought it was almost certainly illegal.
Mm-hmm. We're talking to Alice Herman, who is a writer from The Guardian, who just wrote this piece on the multimillionaire founders of Uline, billionaires Uline, Liz and Dick Uline, the owners of the Wisconsin-based Uline company.
The story said, again, the headline for the story, major Trump donors who complained of immigrant invasion used Mexican workers illegally, sources alleged. So obviously this was a big issue in the campaign. And this was a big issue that that the U-Lines in particular, you know, funded. How do you see what their rhetoric is in some of these campaign ads and how that fits with what they are doing as a company at U-Line?
So we were able to find one ad that was an anti-Harris attack ad that said that she had opened the border and allowed for, and the language that they used was for an invasion, which is, you know, inflammatory anti-immigrant rhetoric and exactly the same type of rhetoric that Trump used on the campaign trail. But that was just one ad. But
yeah, we heard a lot of that rhetoric over the past 12 months, haven't we?
A lot of that rhetoric. Yeah. And that was the immigration and the border was Trump's top issue. And so the fact that the U-Lines donated more than $100 million to in support of Trump's campaign, I think tells you that it, the very least, that kind of rhetoric wasn't disqualifying for them. And they even funded a commercial that, that embraced that type of rhetoric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, you know, I think it was, I don't know if it was the Washington Post or somebody like that. They kind of ran through the list of the top donors of the whole election cycle. And I think the U-Lines came in second, which was ahead of Elon Musk. So I think there's so many people right now in the wake of this election talking about Elon Musk and his influence on the Trump campaign, on the campaign more broadly. But right in our backyard here in the Midwest, you know, the owners of one of the biggest companies in the region, biggest employers in the region, they are, you know, central to this conversation, I think, in a lot of ways. And, you know, looking for, you know, staff at their warehouses or whatever it might be. And it seems like this shuttle support program kind of flies in the face of what a lot of those, you know, campaign ads seem to suggest. And I think, you know, I wonder what type of, if this is maybe the tip of the iceberg on something here, right? Was that the kind of what you seem to come across in this reporting as well?
I don't think we know how far this goes. We're certainly open to tips and have, as soon as the story ran, started hearing from people who wanted to talk more. But yeah, I mean, who knows how far this goes? What we understand is this program at least went on for about 3 years. We haven't heard anything from the company, so we don't know, you know, if they are continuing to run the program, if they've abandoned it. You know, we reached out to them with an extremely detailed list of questions about the story and didn't, and they told, through a spokesperson, they told us they were not going to comment. So, and we haven't heard anything since the story ran either. I did want to just say one thing about the U-Lines and how, you know, they donated even more than Musk and just their power and influence. I think in Wisconsin, for people who are following the news, like U-Line, or even if you're just like, buy office supplies, U-Line is a big name.
Right.
But I think
people get those catalogs in the mail, right? Yeah.
I know. But I think compared to other like GOP mega donors, they have flown somewhat under the radar. They're not a household name like the Koch brothers, but because I think it's important to mention this, they, and in particular Dick U-Line, have donated incredible sums of money to the conservative movement and in particular to far right causes. So for example, after January 6th, it came out, I think it was WBEZ in Chicago who first broke this story that Dick U-Line had bankrolled the group Tea Party Patriots, which was one of the organizations that orchestrated the march to the Capitol that, you know, devolved into or turned into an insurrectionary riot. So there are countless other examples of far-right politicians that the U-Line family has backed. So it's just, I think it's notable and kind of remarkable how much money they're willing to throw around and the fact that they are directing their money into really far-right causes as well.
Yeah, and I think their sphere of influence seems to have grown pretty considerably over the years as well. And I was, you know, just from, you know, being in political media and following the these types of things in Wisconsin over the years. I think they were one of Ron Johnson's biggest donors early in his political career. I think they were his single biggest donor in his 2016 reelection campaign. The U-Lines get very involved in state legislative races in Wisconsin as well. I know that they made a huge donation to the Republican Assembly Campaign Committee late in that cycle that I think really helped those Republicans who were able to, you know, keep the Republican majority in the state assembly as well. And it just seems like, I think there was a New York Times piece a few years ago saying that, you know, they're the kind of the quiet Trump donors and quiet, they seem not so quiet anymore, right? And I think stories like this one really invites more scrutiny of the type of practices that they bring at Uline as well, does it not?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. And you're right that they are not only involved in national politics. It seems like there's a particular interest in Wisconsin politics, to a certain extent, Illinois politics as well. I know that Dick Uline was putting money behind a gubernatorial candidate a few years ago in Illinois. And just in 2023, his super PAC was spending really lavishly on Dan Kelly's state Supreme Court race. So
that's right.
I think we should all be looking out for where and if he's spending money on the next state Supreme Court election this year or in 2025.
Certainly. And I think, you know, sometimes when I tweet about this, I'll get some Republicans in my mentions that will say, oh, you know, Democrats have a lot of billionaire donors too. And yeah, those billionaire donors should be scrutinized as well. But I think we cannot overlook what's happening in the U-Lines and their sphere of influence as well, because, you know, they own a large company in Wisconsin. They are based in the Midwest. They, you know, I think they were the single biggest donor backing Eric Hovde in the Senate campaign in their the restoration pack that you mentioned in this piece as well. So if there's, you know, if there was a Democratic counterpart doing something similar, being the second biggest donor in the country during an election cycle, I think that should invite scrutiny as well. I think that should, you know, we should be having, you know, you should be having investigative stories like what you put together at the Guardian as well about them. But I think because, you know, and so I don't think the U-Lines should be looked over just because, you know, oh, they're, you know, they're backing conservative candidates. Why aren't you looking at both sides? Well, we're looking at these individuals and this company because their influence is really, really growing. And they are becoming one of the major players in kind of the Trump era of Republican politics. And I think, again, stories like this just show the complexity of immigration law, for one. And I think if you can stick around after the break, I'd like to talk a little bit further about some of the details of that aspect as well. But I think we can't overlook the importance of just looking at what the U-Lines are doing on a day-to-day basis. And I think, you know, as Trump is stacking his cabinet with billionaire after billionaire after billionaire, we should be looking at what Dick and Liz Uline are doing in the Midwest and doing in Wisconsin as well, because it's not just, you know, high profile people like Elon Musk who are influencing our politics as well. We might not see a tweet from Dick Uline or, you know, a campaign stop stump speech from Liz Uline, but they are incredibly influential individuals, not only on a national scale, but here in Wisconsin. They get involved in those Senate races. They get involved in those state Supreme Court races. They get involved in the state Senate, state assembly. And we should be, like this piece does, we should be critical of their efforts as well. So Alice Herman of The Guardian is our guest here. She's going to stick with us for one more segment to talk more about this latest piece. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. I'm your guest host this morning. My name is Dan Schaefer. We'll be right back.
Well, I can tell your plan. You're gonna heed my words. Down on your knees, oh, shame.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Chrissy and Right Way Cleaning are here for you this holiday season. Enjoy your holiday get-together even more this year when you have an experienced team help you clean up. Call 715-213-2851 to book cleaning times that are available for office, personal, and holiday parties while supplies last. Right Way Cleaning is backed with years of experience and a passion to clean the right way.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. A new study by Pew Research finds Americans broadly support such democracy reforms as making Election Day a holiday and 2 weeks of in-person early voting, but also think voters must use government-issued ID and voting machines should have paper backup. Pew surveyed over 5,100 American adults in January 2024 from a pool which reflects the demographics of the U.S. It found an increasing number of Americans, 72%, supported making Election Day a national holiday, and 76% supported 2 weeks of in-person early voting. The public is split, however, on having a choice for mail-in voting, with 57% supporting and 41% opposing. Among Republicans, support for mail-in voting dropped in 4 years from 49% to 28%, likely in response to former President Donald Trump's baseless fraud claims. While voting rights groups have tried to protect voting for the elderly, disabled, and students, 81% of Americans support voting only with a government-issued ID, up among all partisan stripes. Support for Election Day registration and automatic voter registration through the DMV declined slightly since 2021, but is down 10% among Republicans. Pew also found notable differences among younger adults and communities of color who are more likely to support early voting, mail-in voting, and automatic and Election Day registration. We have a link to the full Pew survey at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Come on.
Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. I'm your guest host this morning. My name is Dan Schaefer. I'm the founder of the Recombobulation Area and the political editor here at Civic Media. We are joined for this segment of the show by Alice Herman of The Guardian, who wrote a really important piece that was published last week. The headline, Major Trump Donors Who Complained of Immigrant Invasion Used Mexican Workers Illegally. An exclusive report, experts believe the alleged shuttle support program used by Uline, a company owned by billionaires Liz and Dick Uline, is likely illegal and exploitative of workers. Alice, I think we were talking before about the political influence of the Ulines themselves. But I want to talk a little bit about what you found about what the practice of what this company is doing in this shuttle support program. I think a lot of us can get pretty confused by the legalese of it all when it comes to these immigration issues, because it's very complicated, and it's not just, you know, filling out the right form or whatever it might be when it comes to immigration. There's a lot of complexity to the system. So can you break that side of this piece down for us, at least, you know, what the Ulines are doing with these programs, this shuttle support program, how it should be used, how they're using it, and what you found and learned over the course of this report?
So what we heard from immigration lawyers and labor lawyers was just that it would probably be hard to run this kind of program above board. Like, it is really hard to get a work visa in the U.S., whether you're coming as regardless of the type of labor that you're doing. And it's hard for employers to secure work visas for employees. I'm not an immigration law expert, but that was the gist of that was like basically the understanding that I came away with from conversations with people who are experts in that area. And so part of the story is that, like, we don't have clear and functional avenues for workers to be in the U.S. like legally and able to exercise their rights as workers here the way that a U.S. citizen or resident would be able to. It's just there aren't a lot of avenues for workers to seek that or for employers to seek that. And so this alleged program was happening the way that our sources were describing it and the way that we understood it to be happening would have been the lawyers we talked to said it would have just been totally flaunting that law by instead of trying to go through what would probably be a very complicated process that may not have, you know, yielded results, instead hiring workers on visas that don't permit work.
Yeah. And I think that's part of what I think people don't get about this immigration issue is that it is not just like if somebody wants to come here and get a job in Wisconsin for Uline or whatever it might be, it's not just like filling out the right paperwork and doing the right thing. It's just there's not the same number of paths to citizenship that I think people might understand. And I think that is, you know, I think the Trump campaign and the Republican Party really exploited the fact that this is a really complicated process, and they just really tried to oversimplify the issue and say, hey, we need mass deportations. We need this, that, and the other thing. But I think there's so much complexity in this system. And I think that, you know, it seems like from what your reporting is suggesting is that Uline is essentially using this kind of loophole almost in the system to profit from it and to get additional, you know, to hire people in ways that are probably not legal, but it's hard to say. It's like this gray area.
So if this program is what our sources told us it is, and if it, which is to say, if they are hiring people on tourist visas or B1 visas to come to the US and work in the warehouses, that would likely not even be a gray area. That would likely just be,
it would just be illegal. Yeah.
I just wanted to make one other really quick point about, you know, we don't know if every worker knew, you know, we don't know whether they were told you're going to be here for training. We don't know if some people were told you're not training, but tell border officials that you're here for training. What we know is that there was an implicit understanding that workers were to, what sources told us was that there's an implicit understanding that workers were to tell border officials that they're coming here to do one thing when in fact they ended up in the US doing something entirely different, which also raised questions with some of the advocates that we talked to about whether this might have constituted labor trafficking, because if a worker is being told that they're coming to the US to do something and then they're here doing something else, like we don't know all of the details of how free the workers were to move as they pleased while they were in the US. We don't know whether they were holding on to their own passports or whether the company was. There are a lot of questions that that the advocates that we talked to flagged for labor trafficking as well. I just wanted to highlight that.
It's a really important issue. And I think this is some terrific reporting that you've shined a light on an important issue here as well. So once again, Alice Herman of The Guardian, the piece is Major Trump Donors Who Complained of Immigrant Invasion Used Mexican Workers Illegally, Sources Allege. I encourage you all to take a look and spend some time with that one. I think it's an important report. Alice, thank you so much for joining us here on Matt and Air on Air.
Thank you so much, Dan. I appreciate it.
And we'll be right back with Luke Mathers after the break.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
J. Join our advertising family on WFHR and WIRI and see how radio can help improve awareness, revenue, and staffing for your business. I'm Ashley, and it's my mission to help our area businesses thrive. Call me today, 715-496-0710.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Vacationing during the holidays can be trying. Just ask LaToya Pugh, who's trying to fly out of Dallas-Fort Worth.
We have a connecting flight here from DFW to Tokyo for our second anniversary, and it's been delayed 12 times, and the communication has been poor.
FlightAware says DFW led the country in cancellations and delays on Christmas Day. There's a fight over the investigation into the crash of an Azerbaijan Airlines jet in Kazakhstan. CBS's Chris Livesay.
Authorities in Kazakhstan are working with Russian investigators, but tensions are rising over who will lead that inquiry.
Donald Trump seems to want to buy Greenland, maybe even Canada. CBS historian Small on those social media posts.
It's kind of hard to gauge whether or not the president is serious about acquiring those sovereign places, especially considering he's using Truth Social, where he's also in between these statements posting memes and AI-generated images.
CBS News Brief. I'm Peter King.
Join us live every